And welcome back to the locker room. And we are going to have that great chat that we've been talking about for a few days with Sammy Coates. Good morning to you, Sam.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
We're going well. So you've decided to have a retirement. We'll start with that little bit. Did you sort of see it coming? Is that something you decided during the year, or is it something just in the last week or two you decided?
Oh, it's probably been on the cards for a little while. I sat down at the end of last year with our coach. Our second living keeper, Ryan Hartley's, the Victorian 19 keeper, and I sort of said to him at the end of last year, he told me to step aside, and the coach wanted me to go again. So I probably knew then it was probably going to be my last year. And my wife is pregnant, luckily enough, with our second, so that's, you know, due at the end of June. So yeah, it's probably all about right. I'm not getting any younger, so probably all of the above, you know, just led to being time.
Sammy, let's go right back to your junior days. Now, people talking about last week were pretty sure that you actually started with Long Island and then at one stage went over to Coringal. Have I got that part of it right?
Yeah, I played all my juniors at Long Island, 12s, 14s and 16s. And then obviously would play in the afternoon in the senior grades, like most juniors do. And played there till under 16s. Never played a proper senior there either. Went to Frankston for a couple of years, and then after that, then went to Coringal with my brother and Sean Johnson, Andrew Quiddle, and those guys.
Just think about early coaching. Who were some of the coaches that had an impression early on?
Well, probably the biggest was Doug Van Ray. Van Ray name is pretty well known on the Mornington Peninsula. I played with his little brother Lucas. So he coached me through 12s and 14s. So he's a pretty big influence. And probably the biggest thing is we just had a lot of fun. He was a fantastic guy like that. He made cricket fun all the time. And then Gordy McLeod in the under 16. And then the senior club at that time was really strong as well. You know, QE was leading the show for a little while there. Robert and Peter Bedford came across, and the seniors were a strong club. So yeah, it was a good, really good time to be a part of Long Island.
Sam, Greg here. We were talking to Brad Glenn last week, another keeper who's decided to hang up the gloves at the end of this season. Now, he was in the state squad when Darren Berry kept for the state team, and we discussed the fact that as a keeper, you're only an injury away from promotion. Given your outstanding record at Prahran, you must feel a little bit cheated not to wear a state cap.
Oh, no, not cheated at all. I thought that I could always catch the ball reasonably well, but sort of Adam Gilchrist was a by making average 50. So when you compare my batting to the guys that have been in the first class teams, they're poles apart. You know, guys like Ryan Carter, he came down from Canberra, even Aaron Eyre, you know, recent times. He's a very, very good batsman, turning out a lot of district runs, and obviously Wadey the gun. So, Adam Crosswaite, all those guys, they're very, very good players, and their batting is far superior to what mine ever was. So, I could go out there and catch it, no problems, but there's no way I'd be averaging 40, not even close.
And so, Long Island to Frankston, a couple of years at Frankston and decided to come back. When you look back now, and I know you've had a discussion a couple of years ago with Johnny Forrest about this, what seemed to be the difference between the first crack when you're at Frankston and then the second crack when you've gone over to Prahran?
Well, probably one of the main differences is Prahran wanted me to wicket keep. that's probably part of the reason. Well, it was the reason I left Frankston. They sort of, you know, there was a few keepers on the books, and they thought that maybe I was best off just concentrating on my batting, which sort of led to me wanting to go play with my brother, which I hadn't done too much previously. But going to Prahran, it was Bryce, who obviously I met at Frankston Peninsula, Bryce again. I was living and working in town. I was living in Prahran, and it sort of was my local club. Rather than driving down the peninsula to play local cricket, I guess, why don't you just come and play? There's opportunity there. We're trying to build a bit of depth into our club. So I thought I'd go and have a crack. That was, yeah, probably as simple as that. I was probably a little bit older as well, and probably knew a bit more about, you know, the work I need to put in to try and get better.
And you end up having 10 or 12 seasons there, I'm pretty sure, at Prahran.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's sort of my local club. It was easier to keep playing there than anywhere else. But I developed a really good bunch of mates there, and you know, like you do at any club, they're all good, all full of good people, and you know, there's a whole bunch of us that were sort of living in town and renting houses in the area and, you know, enjoying ourselves on a Saturday night. And cricket was the sort of catalyst behind all of that. So we were having a great time. And Pran as a club got better over the years as well. And we started to play in finals and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, really enjoyed myself. It's fantastic.
Sam, you mentioned Bryce McGain there, and obviously playing such a long time at Perrine, you not only build up a lot of friendships there, but you also play with a lot of great names. Just touch on some of those names that you've actually played with over the time.
Yeah, well, probably the biggest names are Chris Rogers, just for a short period when he came over from WA when he joined Victoria. Dave Hussey, obviously Bryce. When I was there, there was John Moss, Jason Armberger, Dimitri Mascarenhas, the England international. He came and played a couple of years, still coaching with us. And he was a little bit past his prime, but Julian Wiener, former test player, he was captain of the seconds for our probably 3 or 4 years when I first started at the club. So, yeah, he's a pretty good fella to have around as well.
Chris Rogers, you said he was only there for a little bit of time, but what was the thing you gained from being with him? Because he is fascinating on his ABC commentary lately.
Yeah, he's a ripper, Bucky. He actually came over and signed with Essendon for a season, but he lived at Pran, and he ended up his best mate was our second 11 captain, and he ended up, you know, sort of out with us every Saturday night, and he said, "I'll just come play with you blokes, it's a bit more fun." So that was. That was good of him. Then he hurt his knee, so we actually got him for three quarters of the season 1 year while he was rehabbing. But he thinks about the game really simply, I think. And you probably see that in the way he plays. You know, he just sort of, his game plan is to just bat the first 2 hours and get as much information as he can. He tucks it off his pads and plays a bit of a cover drive, and that's all he really does. And it's sort of funny for someone who can play every shot in the book, he just doesn't. And that works for him. You know, we all see him on TV and how good he is. So it's sort of, I don't know, I think it's a bit of a common term that the higher grades you go, the less shots they play and the more simple their game plan is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably one thing I've noticed talking to a few of those guys.
And Sam, can we take it one step further so far as the best you've played with and against is concerned? You've played a lot of cricket at Perrin. Who is the fastest bowler you kept to or batted against?
A couple of days where he was no fun at all, and he was typical mean, angry fast bowler, and he really wanted to hurt you first and then get you out. so he wasn't much fun. Played against a few of the guys. I didn't get to really face it. Thank God, because I was down the list. But we played Mick Lewis, and we played one day where both Pattinsons and Peter Siddle were playing for Dandenong. So that was
kept a pretty, you honest.
So they're probably, and we played Dirk Nannis one day, but thank God I was at the non-stoppers and never had to face him. I ran myself out before I had to bother with that. So that was.
what about best batsman you played with or against?
Oh look, I mean, probably the best one I've played with, just because he can, you know, he's just so explosive. But Brad Hodges probably up there. I saw him get 100 one day against us, and I don't think he even broke a sweat. But in terms of sort of local players, because I don't play a lot of district cricket, obviously, the guys, Andrew Kent from Melbourne's probably the best. Simon Hill from Camberwell. Warren Ayres had a pretty good district career. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit biased because I'm mates with him, but James Miller, he's in both categories there. He's the best I've played with in terms of an all-rounder, and probably one of the best I've played against with his time at Frankston, now at Kingston. So, he was always a really, really tough competitor, hard to get out and hard to score against.
Sam, you touched on those fast bowlers before. Well, you can probably tell us all fast bowlers are mad, though, aren't they?
Yeah, well, usually they're not very smart. So. I don't have to place anymore now.
Mick Lewis and Dirk Nannis in particular, you mentioned, that would have been an experience seeing them bowl up close.
Yeah, well, and I was sort of just breaking into first 11 cricket at that stage, so I hadn't really ever seen anything like it. So I was just thinking to try and not get bowled. That's what I didn't like, to get bowled.
You want to get home to your wife, and you want to make sure that you get home safe. And
well, my plan was, if play forward defence, if it's not going to stump, suck. That was all the plan. That was just the plan. So it was probably hell's being short sometimes.
As a keeper, a lot of spin bowlers you'd have kept to as well, and that's often the mark of a good keeper is how they go against the slowies. I'm imagining Bryce McGain would be one that you kept to. There must have been some others as well.
Bryce was probably, I'm just trying to think, Nathan McNally of recent times is the other leggy. The last 3 or 4 years, he's an excellent leggy, but much more, a lot more top spin, much faster. James Wild played a lot with Cran, especially in the white ball stuff. He was excellent. And this short, last 2 years, has been young Sam Brimwade, who's just got a big rookie contract. He's a very, very talented off spinner, so I think he'll go a long way. But they're probably the guys I can think of. Obviously, Huss would roll the arm over occasionally, but he's more medium pace than off spin, I reckon.
63 stumpings, Sam Dotneil. So 63, that's a lot of
good
stumpings.
Yeah, 220 helps that, I reckon, when you've got a really good leg spinner and the boys are chasing 10 and over, they just keep running faster. So.
just looking at some of the stats, highest score 145. Recall that innings?
Yeah, I do. That was against Essendon at Thurrock Park. Okay. Essendon in a little bit of trouble early. I think we were about 5 for 30 or something like that. And at the time, Essendon weren't a really strong team, but they did have Clint McKay playing and I think Lewis Cameron and maybe Steve Reid. So they had a pretty decent bowling attack. But the pitch flattened out a little bit juicy in the morning, and I think I had a big partnership with Liam Murphy that day. Managed to get a few away. The ground was lightning fast, so that also helps.
And of course, you ended up with being club captain, great honour, and doing it 83 matches, which I think makes you third. You're sort of behind Dav Watmore and Bruce Murray. That must have been a great honour in the end, being captain.
Yeah, it was. It was like any club, you look back at the history, and it's a little bit humbling, but I suppose it's something. You've always got to be a little bit of a leader as a wicketkeeper. I found it a bit of a challenge to wicketkeep and captain in my first year, just in terms of switching off the brain and just watching the ball. But I suppose I learned to deal with that as best I could. And we had, probably my first couple of years, in particular 3 years, I was almost on cruise control because the team was so bloody good. there was times we were walking out and, there was 4 or 5 first-class players in the team, and you can't say anything to these guys necessarily that they don't already know. So you just, walk out, say good luck, let's have some fun, and hopefully you play well.
And Sam, I guess it's true to say that a lot of players who've played at a high level find it difficult to be inspired to play in the lower grades or, in various other competitions. Can you see yourself playing at a lower level at some stage in the future?
Yeah, look, I think I'll end up playing local cricket somewhere next season. I'm not exactly. I'll probably end up in the local comp near where I live, which is the Cricket Southern Base, somewhere there. So I've spoken to a couple of friends in the NBCA, and I'm not really interested in sort of too much of a leadership role in terms of coaching and all that sort of stuff. That's sort of part of the reason why I'm taking a step back anyway. Maybe just on myself. So that's sort of the plan, and look after the family. So I think that's what I'll end up doing. Yeah.
Sam, I was just having a look at your some of your achievements, and club record 7th wicket partnership 234 with Stephen Seymour, 8th wicket partnership with Stephen Seymour of 222, a partnership record, and the 9th wicket 108 with Bryce McGain. So it must be memories that you hold sort of pretty dear, because especially those sort of ladder wickets, it's hard to build up such a partnership, but to get those, it's a huge achievement.
Look, Fran's always had a bit of a club full of all-rounders, so we've always had a strong middle order, and if you can come in after lunch and the ball's a bit older and the pitch is nice and flat, you can often get amongst it a little bit. The one probably with Bryce was probably the most satisfying. That was actually in a final, so a quarter final against Carlton away, so we're in a little bit of trouble and we needed a few more runs, so it was actually really good. I had just talking it through with him, and he blocked the crap out of it and guided it to third man, as he does. That's his go-to. And we managed to hang around and put a decent score on the board. So, you don't try and do those things. You just do the best you can each week. And, it's been good.
And the other record you've got now is for the a club record of the most wicket-keeping dismissals. Mick mentioned the 63 stumpings. It ended up 331.
Yeah, I was talking to last year when I broke the record, the club was actually fantastic. We got Kyle Maligan, who was the previous record holder, and a guy called Neil Smythe, who used to wicket-keep for Victoria back in the late 60s and 70s, who was previous to Kyle. And so the three of us actually got to have a beer together, which was really, really cool. But I think lots of white ball cricket, lots of T20 cricket really helps bump up those stats. When Kyle was playing through the 90s in particular, it was mostly just all red ball cricket. And so, you know, you don't have the batsman advancing nearly as much or being nearly as attacking. So, plus, obviously, having a couple of good spinners in the club really, really helps. So I'm probably a little bit fortunate in that regard that, sort of got on the tail end of the T20 stuff. But look, I mean, like any record in any sport, you're only custodian for a little bit of time until someone else comes along and breaks it.
Yeah. Now, just one of the other things is plenty of kids, 17, 18, 19, heaps of talent out there playing cricket. They don't always progress and get in, you know, have a crack up in the Premier Cricket or work into a state squad or anything. But no doubt you've seen a few people with heaps of talent who haven't quite got there. What are your thoughts? What are your messages to some of those kids?
Well, look, I mean, if you're going to go and play at a higher level, it probably sounds a bit like an older guy talking to younger guys, but go for a couple of years. You can get a little bit impatient if you just go in your first year and then maybe have a few washouts, get to Christmas, you may be in a grade that you don't want to be in or something like that. It's pretty easy to fall away after Christmas and go back to your local club. You probably need to really go with a bit of a two-year plan and really commit to that because the real benefit, I think, of a district club probably is the Monday to Friday, not so much the Saturday and the Sunday, because the standard cricket does vary, obviously, a great deal between first, second, third and fourth. But the Monday to Friday is where you do all your learning. And, you know, from my point of view, being able to rub shoulders with guys who are coming back from first-class cricket and all that sort of stuff, that's where all the learning is, not so much on the weekends. And that's sort of what happened a little bit to me at Prown. I mean, it took me 2 years before I got the regular gig as the first level keeper. So, you know, I played thirds cricket, I played some seconds cricket, and it took me a while to you know, earn my way up to the top. So that's probably about it. But I understand, look, it's a big time commitment. If you're down the end of the peninsula, it's a long way to travel, you know, three times a week and all that sort of stuff. But, yeah, the real learning is Monday to Friday. So that's, if you want to put yourself in that environment, that's probably the best way that you're gonna grow and get better and see how good maybe you can become.
For those kids, though, Sam, like, did you ever sort of go, this is too hard, I'm going back, and then all of a sudden the door opened? What did that moment reach with you?
Well, I suppose it probably happened a little bit at Frankston. You know, when I was 16, 17, I was probably a little bit frustrated. I thought maybe things should have been happening. And I probably didn't have the right perspective as well. So that's probably where I thought, oh, look, you know, I'm playing in the seconds and the thirds here at Frankston. I could be playing, you know, potentially, you know, local first, playing with my brother, playing with my mates. I'll go and do that. I don't regret that for a second because I'm pretty close with my brother and we'd never played cricket together really because of the age group stuff and that being at different clubs and whatnot. But yeah, that's probably, it's a tough one. You know, you've got to be able to have the lifestyle and the ability to commit the time. That's the hard thing.
Well, mate, you've had a great track record. A lot of people have played with you over the years through the NPCO have followed your work at Paran, so well done on that, and we hope you enjoy your time with Emma on the weekends from now on.
Yeah, thanks very much, and look, I still think really fondly of my time in the NPCO. I've got a lot of mates there, and even today playing, I used to play cricket with and against Joe Rule and Daniel Warwick and Chris Pertain a little bit and all those sorts of guys, so I still keep an eye on all the scores. I've basically spent Christmas holidays with half the Peninsula homeboys, so I still keep a close eye on them.
Fantastic, Sam.
Thanks for your time.
Appreciate you.